Blog Talk Radio.
Well, fools fall in love in a hurry. Fools give their hearts much too soon. Just play them two balls of stardust. Just hang out one silly moon. Oh, and they'll come their love torch is burning. When they should be playing it cool. I used to laugh, but now I understand. Shake the hand of a brand new fool. Well, fools fall in love just like schoolgirls. Blinded by rose-colored dreams. They build their castles on wishes, with only rainbows to beam. Oh, oh, they're making plans for the future, when they should be right back at school. I used to laugh, but now
boys and girls, welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book .com. And let us get our show started here. Let me see what we have for you. What happened here? Okay. I was looking for something to play for you. Here we go.
Hi, you boys and girls, and welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book .com. I turned on Mike Savage tonight, and he's leading a crusade. He's leading a human crusade against the forces of evil, who are now sitting on the throne of the United States government. And he is ranting, rightly so, about human selection. He is ranting against the law that was passed today to toy with God's work. He is ranting against the bill that was passed today to slaughter the innocent in the name of scientific research. There is no difference between what they are doing to embryos today and what Dr. Joseph Mengele did at Birkenau, Auschwitz, when he selected those who would live and those who would die. There is no difference today between embryonic cell research killing an innocent child than the Japanese experiments in North Korea that called for the dissection of human beings while they were still alive. There's no difference today between the embryonic cell research that Obama bin Laden assigned today, the closet communist, who signed today the takedown of America, step three. There's no difference today between what he did and the Nazi North Sea experiments to see how long a pilot could stay in a cold water. And we are toying with God's work, and we're all going to pay. So hang in there. Let me give you a song, and then I'm going to come back and we'll talk some more. And my question for today is, how do you know you're not brainwashed? You know what an embryo is? It's a star in the sky that you can't see with the human eye. I called Obama bin Laden a closet communist. I usually term all the Democrats Grey Poupon communists. They will never have to eat black bread and water. They will always have a caviar and champagne. But they will enslave a lot of people who will have black bread and water. I did not give him the name a closet communist. I heard it first from a fella called Selwyn Duke, who was a guest on the Mike Medved show. And this guy was right on. It's not party, it's morality. It's good versus evil. It's what it really is. These Democrats are making murder the law of the land. These Democrats will legalize drugs so they can tax it. These Democrats have already taken the numbers game away from the mob. The next thing they will legalize is prostitution. And to cut out the middleman, they will bring in low-priced prostitutes from overseas. And then tax it. The government has driven industry out of the United States. They have destroyed industry, and they began in the 60s. While they tried to destroy the military, and they almost succeeded. Up until Desert Storm, the United States military was a losing proposition. And they had the stigma of losers. They were spit upon coming back. There were 58,000 of them left to die in Vietnam by a president who promised he would never run again. And told us we would have guns and butter, but he didn't tell us that the butter would be soaked with blood. And they were in their glory when the United States fell in Vietnam. And the reason that the United States fell in Vietnam is they were assassinated by the media. The media who now has given us a closet communist. And we're all going to pay, because hell is waiting on the United States of America. Any country that makes it a law to kill children is only two steps away from killing senior citizens. They'll call it saving Social Security. For Nancy Pelosi to stand up there after going and visit the Pope, did she tell the Pope she was going to vote for child murder today? I'll bet you she didn't. But the Pope knew. He wouldn't have his picture taken with her. Yeah. So that's what we have today. We have Democrats gone wild. And Obama is definitely just undoing every good thing that Bush did. He is showing us that the Bush people must be punished. And he's taking it out on the kids. And we're all in trouble. We're all up the fat lady's burka. And there's Hillary Clinton. She goes and visits the Soviet Union and gives a jack-in-a-box to their ambassador. How's that? How's that for stupidity? No grace, no class. Just a fool with a big butt. Yeah, we're in trouble, boy. We're in real trouble. Barney Frank brought down the housing industry, and they moved him up the ladder. He's now in charge of bringing down the rest of the houses. Yeah. Christopher Dudd got a better mortgage than you can get. And Christopher Dudd is a flag burner, and so is Barney Frank. And 40 days before 9/11, these people who are killing our kids today voted to burn the American flag that drapes the coffins of everybody that will come back from Afghanistan, that has come back from Iraq and Afghanistan, has come back from Vietnam, has come back from World War II, and these scumbags voted to burn the flag. They called it freedom of speech. And when they kill your children, they'll call it natural selection. They've already sold your children into slavery, tax slavery. They're not even born yet, and they've got a tax bill. 9,000 pork barrel spending gimmicks in a 1,000 pages of legislation that nobody read. And I had a thought today. I'm wondering if the banks are at war with the United States government. I think that the United States government has pushed the banks too far, and they're pushing back. And I'd like to really sit in the boardroom and know what's really going on. I think we'd all be shocked. I think these government officials walked into these banks and told them who to lend money to, and the bank said that's a bad investment, and they said if you don't do it, you'll be labeled a racist, a homophobe, and an anti-Semite. Yeah. Those are the three top cliches in the party of death. So the bank said, you know what? We got to do it. You're making us do it. You're twisting our arm. Okay. You know who's going to pay for it? The American people. And you can tell them, you did it to them. So who do you want me to give a house to? A guy that can't pay the mortgage? A woman who got a million-dollar house and she was a bus driver? Yeah, tell me about it. And now, so that's what the banks have done. And now they won't lend money. They're hoarding it. Because they want to be around when this administration gets impeached. And you know what? They're already talking about impeaching Obama. How's that? How's that? And you know what? If they start with Obama, they're going after the whole House and Senate. Obama won't be impeached alone. He's going to have a lot of company. Welcome to the Party's Over Party. You can call me Pop. The Party's Over Party. You know how you can tell if you got a good, a conservative talk show host? Network that he is broadcasting on, after he speaks, they will say something like this. The views of this correspondent are not necessarily the views of the station. Please don't sue us! Please! Savage says that Obama will bring back child murder in the last trimester. And you know what? They're just trying to undo everything Bush did. They'll probably change the dress code at Abu Ghraib from panties to lampshades. Yeah. You know what? This guy... I don't know what it is with all these presidents. They all get into this office and they think it's party time. They think it's everything's going to be hunky-dory. President Pinocchio pants, he went in there and he had orgies, this guy. Unbelievable. He had more, he called for his pipe and he called for his bowl. And then he watched the sinking of the USS Cole. Unbelievable. And George Bush thought he was going to have a good old time, too. He got in there. He thought he was... Well, Clinton had 8 years, and he had a hell of a time. Now, I'm just going to be a nice guy, and I'm going to go down to Florida. I'm going to read some stories. And you know the story he got to read, all right? Then he ended up... Remember when he walked out on Yankee Stadium, Yankee Field in New York, right after 9-1-1, and he threw the ball out? And he had a bulletproof vest under his jacket, and everybody was saying, "Please God, do not shoot him." Right? Didn't you sweat it out? You didn't? Oh, you must be a tough guy. Yeah. How did you sleep the night of 9-1-1, watching the sacrifice spiraling up in white smoke to the sky, watching all of the bones and DNA dust of all those Americans who were butchered? Oh, you forgot about 9-1-1. Oh, if you're from New York, usually most of those 9-10 New Yorkers, they're still complaining about DNA dust on their windowsill. Yeah, and that the survivors got too much money. Yeah, unbelievable. Unbelievable. When I see one of these Grey Poupon communists saying that the 9-1-1 was a tragedy, but I say, you know what? I'd love to see you with your shoes on fire. I'd love to see you on the 101st floor deciding, is it better that they find my body or they don't find my body? Yeah, and that's the decision that was made coming off of that building, off of that rooftop. And a guy, a Russian guy, who is a pro-American immigrant, he came to see me one day, and he had a picture of that he took on top of the World Trade Center. I don't remember when, but while it was still up. And the guy standing next to him was dressed as a Pakistani. And you wonder if he was walking off the World Trade Center. And he said, should I turn it into the FBI? And I said, yeah, you should, but you might get involved, you know, being that you're a Russian. They're liable to spin the table on you. And I don't think he ever turned it in. I thought he had second thoughts. He also went back to Russia to visit his mother, and he spent $5,000 to buy an AK-47 to protect himself from being robbed. And then he couldn't leave the country. He had to sneak out another way. I don't know if he went through one of the bordering Baltic states. But he said it was the last time he would see his mother. And that's how things are in the rest of the world, even though the communists here, the Grey Poupon communists, tell you that we are the worst nation on the face of the earth. And you know what? They're taking away our freedoms. And before, it used to be by the month, and now it's by the minute. And Savage is afraid that, like I said, he's going to, Obama next will attack abortion. And Savage calls abortion a racket, the abortion racket. And pretty soon they'll be doing advertisements for abortion on TV. Because everybody's hurting for advertisers. And I can see it now, you know. Oh, yes, hi, I'm Dr. I'm a Dr. Chop-em-up. And no more back alley abortions, thanks to the Democrat Party. We now kill them in the front office. And we pay a bounty. And they do sell body parts. Isn't that great? Wait until this embryo selection turns against women and somebody says that we have too many girls. Wait. These people are experimenting with a whole country. And they're just getting their beaks wet. If you get my book, The Spirit of America Party, I have one chapter that says Save the Kids. And there is a, being that it's a Irish heritage year, there is a shamrock, a nice big green shamrock. And in the center of the shamrock is an embryo. It's a sonogram baby. And you can see the umbilical cord. And the caption underneath says, "Pray for us now at the hour of our death. Amen." And I ask, do you think that that child can sense pain, can feel pain? Can it sense danger? Does it know something is not right? Does its little heart beat a little bit faster? And I call that child a POW, a prisoner of the womb. And underneath that shamrock is a prayer called Anima Christi. And I dedicate that prayer to all POWs, prisoners of war, prisoners of the womb. And I don't know if you caught the National Geographic documentary that was on this week, but there were three guys who were held captive in Colombia for 5 years, three Americans. All fine-looking gentlemen, well-built. They might have been Green Berets on a mission, I don't know. I didn't follow it too closely. I just heard what they were saying about their incarceration. And they were rescued by Colombian troops. And if they worked for the CIA, how come they weren't rescued by the CIA? But they were POWs also, and they weren't counted. You got to be careful, you know, what kind of press you get when you're captured. If you get bad press, you'll be lost in the shuffle. Hang in there, and I'll give you a POW song. The baby murder count, not counting this new embryo selection, the baby murder count in the United States is approximately 1,400,000 crucifixions a year. And that's what they are, they're crucifixions. As a matter of fact, I don't think Christ suffered the way an embryo or an unborn child suffers as his limbs are pulled apart and his head is crushed. 1,400,000 crucifixions a year. And the CNN announced today that religion's on the way out. And they did a little dance to their god Baal.
Oh, thank thee, dearest friend, for this thy dying sorrow, thy pity without end. Oh, make me thine forever, and should I fainting be, Lord, let me never, never outlive my love for thee.
Boys and girls, a couple of things come to mind. There's a lot of talk about Nancy Pelosi and her demands on the Department of Defense for jet escorts and jet planes when she goes on a tour to Syria to lick the ankles of Bashar al-Assad and to cut the ribbon on the IED factory that's killing Americans. That's one thing that disturbs me greatly, that they never have time for the troops, but they have plenty of time for the enemy. And you can see that now with the release of the Guantanamo murderers, who never should have been allowed to leave the battlefield. They should have been finished off on the battlefield. They were of no value, and all they did was add to problems. And that's the way to win a war. You settle the score right there and then, and no debate. The debate was over the day that Bush should have gotten an act of war. And that was his mistake. He should have gotten an act of war. He said, I'm not sending one soldier overseas to die until I have an act of war. Either give me an act of war, or you can take the responsibility for 9-1-1 and future 9-1-1s. And that's what you got to do. And I seen an interview of Chester Nimitz, the admiral that won the Battle of Midway. And they asked him, I think it was either him or Halsey, and they asked him, is there such a thing as a good Jap? And he said, yes, one that's been dead 6 months. How's that? How's that grab you? And that's a winner talking. That's a guy that knows who the enemy is and plans to defeat him. But we don't get that message here in the United States. We're all being brainwashed by the party of death and the networks and the media. And the only good news is that a lot of the media is going broke because nobody's listening or reading it. So That's part two. There was a couple of other things that rocked my world today that I saw. Well, the good news is the stock market's up. And the bad news is you can't let the price of oil get out of hand. We've got to win that war against terror. We got to get rid of that jihad tax. And that's what it is. It's a jihad tax. It was put on in 1973 when we were defeated by the Islamic fundamentalists. So let me give you embryo of part one.
You know, one thing that really insults me in dealing with the Democrats, when Bush came into office, he told you what he was going to do. He laid out his game plan. He made everybody aware of what he was going to do. The Democrats don't tell you what they're not going to do. They treat you like children. You want a toy that they're not going to give you. They don't tell you you can't have it. They yes you to death. And that's what they've done on drill, baby, drill. When was the last time you heard the words drill, baby, drill? Now, I'll tell you something. Right now, Wall Street is being tested at 6,500 on the Dow Jones. If it goes below 6,500, the next test is 6,000. The only thing, your house is down. I'm talking to people now that their houses are 50% less than what they paid for them. Okay? Their stocks are 40 to 50% less than what they paid for them. The only thing that's keeping you alive is your job and a low price of oil. If the price of oil goes back up to $100, $140 a barrel, you're screwed. You're screwed, blued, and tattooed. You're finished. You're not going to come back. They're talking about, 8% in unemployment? It'll be 18%. People will be pulling their rigs off the side of the road because they're not going to pay gas. The boating industry will be wiped out. And people are already walking away from their boats as they are walking away from their homes. The price of oil cannot go above $25 a barrel. OPEC has had a field day at the expense of the consumer. And OPEC has to be brought into check. And they're having another meeting next week, and they're going to cut production again. If they cut production, we have to cut consumption. We have to find a way. You're going to have to put your car in a garage, and you're going to have to take a major transportation. We cannot let these oil prices get above $25 a barrel. That is the pegged price for success on the comeback of the American economy. Once you're paying $4 a gallon for gas, it's all over. Your neck is broken. You might as well climb in the box. We cannot let oil get above $25 a barrel, and we have to drill. Now, you got a governor out there in California that's a schmuck. He's $42 billion in the hole, and it's all politicians gone wild. And they can't pay their bills. Yet he's sitting with capped oil wells out there. He could have $42 billion next week. But instead, he's going to take welfare from 49 states. And they're telling you it's $42 billion. It's probably $60 billion. They don't tell the truth when they lie. And they got oil. We got oil. We've got oil in Alaska. You got a governor that wanted to bring a natural gas pipeline down to the U.S., a second one. And everybody said she doesn't dress right. This is how we're going to go right down the tubes. And you know what? The people that will deliver us into the hands of our enemies think that they're going to be exempt. But that isn't how it works. And it's not only us who are in trouble. The Saudis are in trouble too. Because if they can't get their oil to market, they're out of business also. And they don't realize that. They think that the United States is going to protect the Persian Gulf. And that may not be. That may not happen. You never can tell. Never can happen. Happens all the time. You don't know what Obama's going to do. And if I was the Saudis, I'd be storing oil in the United States tomorrow. I'd have at least a 2-year supply of crude oil reserves in the United States. So if the Straits of Hormuz get blocked, if you can't get around the Red Sea, wherever else you got to go, at least we're not all up the fat lady's burqa. And it wouldn't take much, let me tell you. You've seen the Chinese boats harassed a U.S. Navy sonar ship, and the price of oil went up $2 today. Shell Oil said that they're going to stop drilling in Nigeria because of all the rebel assaults. Okay, and that's it. Panic sets in, the price of oil goes up, and we're all in trouble. And I'm telling you, I'll say it again and again, oil cannot go above $25 a barrel. In 1998, it was $10 a barrel, and OPEC was hurting. It's time that they hurt again. They're going to hurt us, let's hurt them. And then we can come to a reasonable negotiation for a fair price. But every time they cut back on production, we got to cut back on consumption. By hook or by crook. And there's got to be people out there that'll deal us oil. We got to talk to the right people. And get a load of Chuck Schumer. He wanted to seize Exxon. What are you going to say tomorrow when Exxon announces that they've moved their corporate headquarters? They moved it once, you know, from New York because the pigs in New York got too greedy, and they moved it to Virginia. Now, what are you going to do when they decide to move from Virginia to Dubai and they tell you that Sheikh Maktoum just gave them 100 years no taxes? If you were Sheikh Maktoum, wouldn't you want the American oil companies in Dubai? What would you give them to come? They talk long term. Chuck Schumer, the guy opened his mouth and a bank went down the next day in California. This guy is dangerous. And now he's got more power than ever before. Why are we giving more power to the people who can hurt us the most? He's also a flag burner and a baby killer. And when he smiles, he reminds me of Dr. Joseph Mengele. He also reminds me of Heinrich Himmler.
Die.
I jokingly say that when God becomes totally fed up with us, how will he exact his vengeance upon us this time? Once he wiped out the entire earth with a flood and left only 8 people. And then he put a rainbow in the sky to keep a vow, to remind us of his vow that he would never drown us again. So I think he's rolling around heaven today. He's kind of annoyed. And he's saying, now let me see, I promised them no more floods. I don't want to go through what I did to Pharaoh. How about a nice stock market crash? Yeah. You know, a perfect storm? It wouldn't take much. It wouldn't take much. Can you imagine what the price of oil is going to be if they announced that Pakistan just fell to Al-Qaeda? Never can happen. Happens all the time. I'm sure a lot of people were sitting around Europe thinking that Hitler would be no threat. As a matter of fact, the House and the Senate, I'm going to send them all a bowler hat. Everybody should wear bowler hats up there, being that they're negotiating away a country. Peace at any price. The appeasement party. Can you believe? You know, don't be surprised when they announce that they've formed an alliance with Syria. Don't be surprised. And that Israel has to give back the Golan Heights and Gaza has to get their rockets closer to Tel Aviv. Don't be surprised. And I want to say something that crossed my mind today. These words echo in my mind, in my conscious mind, every day of the week. My name is Danny Pearl, and I'm a Jew, and my mother is a Jew. And then they cut his throat. He was an American Jew, and they cut his American throat. And where is the outrage from the American Jewish community for one of their own? There was no outrage. We've become a nation of sheep. They should have put a contract down on whose ever hand that was that cut his throat. And I sort of picked up, and I don't know if it's true or not, but that the Pakistanis were going to let him go, and the Saudis bought his life for $30,000. $30,000. $30,000. Do you know that's a small charitable contribution for a rich man? But before they killed him, they made him say that he was a Jew and his mother was a Jew, and the American Jews here did nothing. They said nothing, they did nothing. The outrage lasted tops 3 days. And you know what I say? 911, we forget nothing. I got it on coins. I got it on websites. And I got Danny Pearl on my website, too. What happened to him shouldn't happen to a dog. The Bible tells you, the New Testament tells you, that Paul was a Roman citizen, I think, if I'm recalling correctly, and that those who wanted to kill him couldn't, because he was a Roman citizen, and he had to be tried in a Roman court, because he was a cut above non-Romans. And that used to be the same for Americans. Yet there are Americans in this country that want to try American troops in The Hague. Those are the same Americans who vote to kill kids. Those are the same Americans who vote to burn the flag. Those are Americans in name only. Anos. Yeah, we got rhinos and anos. And speaking of rhinos, get rid of the Quislings in the Republican Party. Get rid of them now. All inspectors should have been fired a long time ago. And when Bush was running for his second term, Ken Melman gave Chuck Schumer and John Corzine the states of New York and New Jersey as a gift. He announced that he would not challenge their position, and his excuse was, they're a lost cause, New York and New Jersey. We're spending our money elsewhere. Let me tell you something. Every battle is important. And we should never have walked away from New York or New Jersey. Bush might have pulled New Jersey if all he had to do was come here. And they told him if he came here and brought up 911, they would retaliate. Well, what are they doing now? What are they doing now to Bush? They're undoing everything. Wait till the Supreme Court judge appointments start to come up. You know what? I got a picture on my website of France in chains. It's two hands with the shackles, and it was World War II, and the chains are broken. And the only reason those chains were broken is the Americans came and broke them. Because Europe will give up anybody for it to save its own neck. And now you've got the Prime Minister of England who is coming here for tax money. Yeah, we got rid of the Brits. No taxation without representation. And here they are. They're here for the tax money again. Yeah, and we're in trouble. We're in big trouble. And it's time that we had a national Spirit of America attack. We gotta rekindle the spirit of the revolution. So hang in there, and I'll give you a revolutionary song. Here's one that's been sung since an Irishman founded and built the United States Navy. You don't even know who he is, do you? His name is John Barry. And he came from Ireland. And if you ask anybody who was the founder of the American Navy, they'll probably tell you Tupac Shakur. Up the rebels. This media can't be trusted. This media will kill more Americans than Al-Qaeda. Newsweek, Marine killing MSNBC, and Newsweek is spelled the W-E-A-K. Marine killing MSNBC, who has been on a jihad against Americans since the beginning of the war. The Boston Globe, the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times. I hope they all go out of business. I hope they die a slow death. I hope the last guy, the last reader, throws the paper at them. They are, MSNBC and Newsweek are hand in glove. You got guys like Keith Olbermann. What is it, what benefit is the nation going to get from Keith Olbermann? Chris Matthews, who has fantasies about being a senator? What benefit is the nation going to get from Chris Matthews? CNN, I call them the Communist News Network. And I would just want to mention something. This Syrian, I mentioned Syria before. The les liaisons dangereux, those dangerous liaisons with Syria, are going to kill a lot of American troops. That monkey in Damascus has sat with Jimmy Carter. They've all sat in the same room. They has sat with Jimmy Carter, whose famous saying is, some of my best friends are Jews. Nancy Pelosi, Bill Bayonet the Babies Nelson, the flag burner, the astronaut that's spelled with two S's, Uday Pelosi, I call her. As soon as she became Sneaker of the House, the first thing she did was she demanded a bigger plane so that she could fly directly to Syria, and that's where she went. She went to Syria, she brought her entourage with her, and they licked Bashar al-Assad's ankles. Now, because this guy wears a suit and he has a clean shave, that doesn't make him St. Michael the Archangel. This guy is a murderer. His father was a murderer. He's a murderer. This guy, this is the regime that drove all the Jews out of Syria. If you want to see where all the Jews are that used to live in Syria, go to Deal, New Jersey. They were all driven out of their homeland. They have a mosque in Syria that Nancy Pelosi went to. And they call it, they have a Jesus pulpit where Jesus is going to return and kill all the Jews in 40 days. And she went there. Now, this guy is making IEDs, Iranian IEDs, in Syria. They're using copper lugs because they do more damage to the troops in the Humvees. He's got IED factories. I said Pelosi went there to cut the ribbon. Now, never forget, the Democrats have been in power since 2006. And it's only now that Obama has come to wear the crown of a democracy, the democracies. Obama is wearing the crown, and now he's issuing writs. He's issuing executive orders. And every day, he's killing Americans. With the help of Uday Pelosi and all of the 48 senators who voted to burn the flag. And these are the same senators who voted against giving anesthesia to full-term children about to have their heads crushed because they would have to admit that the fetus feels pain. And I would love to be their dentist. And we would have a no Novocaine day. And I would tell them, stop jumping in the chair, it's only a little tissue. Yeah. They're all going to get theirs. And God is going to get them all. Life, the best life you can have is 100 years. After that, you're on God's time for all eternity. And 100 years goes by in a blink of an eye. And eternity is forever. And they're not going to be allowed to be represented by lawyers. There's no lawyers in heaven. But there's Uday Pelosi. The first trip she made was into the enemy's camp. She never pulled into Iraq and stopped to say hello to the 10th Mountain Division or any of the Marine contingents. She never sat in the chow hall with GIs, but she was in Damascus telling them to close the window because she didn't want to hear the screams. This Bashar al-Assad has been blowing up Americans and Lebanese since he took out the prime minister, before he took out the prime minister of Lebanon, Rafiq Hariri. They blew him into a hole so big it looked like a meteorite crater. He is murdered. He's responsible for the murder of Maronite Christians. He's responsible for the murder of Iraqis and Americans in Iraq smuggling in his IEDs. He is probably holding a Saddam's weapons of mass destruction. And I hear he's opened up his gas-producing machinery again, and I'm not talking about gasoline. His chemical weapons warfare department. Unbelievable. Why does a sneaker of the house go to Syria? And now, who's the last one? John Kerry. Hanoi John. Just came back from Syria 3 weeks ago. And he was there to finish the toe licking. So what are they doing with Syria? This is a party that does the deed and then they debate. They do the deed first. And there's going to be a day of reckoning and it's not going to be pretty. And Eric Holder is calling for the arrest of anybody that belongs to the NRA. Oh, he didn't say it yet, but that's what he's thinking. He's going to have roundups. And you remember Obama's campaign speech, he was going to have a civilian force greater than the military. Yeah. What are we going to be, the white Russians and the red Russians? When was the last time you heard a vice presidential candidate say she had a servant's heart? That you had to have a servant's heart. When was the last time you heard that? But today, they are trumpeting the fact that the church attendance is down. Well, you know what? We can go down to 12 and start all over again. But the story has to be told. And we're not getting the message out. That's our problem.
Hang in there, folks. And I'll give you a part two of that.
Choose to serve. rain that falls, a flower grows. I believe that somewhere in the darkest night, a candle glows. I believe for everyone who goes astray, someone will come to show the way. I believe, I believe, I believe above the storm, the smallest prayer will still be heard. I believe that someone in the great somewhere hears every word. Every time I hear a newborn baby cry or touch a leaf or see the sky, then I know I believe. Every time I hear a newborn baby cry or touch a leaf or see
you know that in the 1950s, one out of three songs had gotten them? Check it out. Did you know back in the 1950s, one out of three songs had gotten them? What do you have today? Who's got? Two hippies are walking down the street and they pass a Catholic priest. And one hippie says, "Hello, Father." And the priest says, "Take a bath." So they walk a little further down the road, and one hippie says to the other, "Hey, man, what's a bath?" He goes, how should I know? I'm not Catholic. Priest and a rabbi go to a prize fight, and before round one begins, one of the guys in one of the corners is kneeling down and blessing himself, and the rabbi says to the priest, "What does that mean when he does that?" And the priest says, "It doesn't mean anything if he can't fight." Who made up the rule when it comes to abortion that the guy gets off the hook? Who made up that rule? When women were gritting their teeth and shouting, "It's my body," what happened to the other half of the equation? Won't he even drive you to the clinic? Guys should never have been left off the hook. That was a big mistake. That's why we got to bring the draft back, because responsibility is missing in the United States. The R word is gone. Nobody should ever walk alone.
Is a goal. and blow.
I'm a big Western fan. I love Westerns. I grew up on Westerns. I grew up, the good guy always got the girl. And the cowboys were honorable men. Now they got the cowboys kissing. I never saw Tom Mix and never kissed Red Ryder. Hopalong Cassidy never kissed Gabby Hayes. But do you see how perverted we've become? No wonder. No wonder God left the United States. He's on his way out. He's got his bags packed. He's going to leave us to self-destruct. We're going to become like the Tower of Babel people. We're already that in the language. But, my mind is going. I just heard Newt Gingrich saying that people, big rich people are hiding, putting their money on the side. They're not going to invest in the United States. And have you heard all these senators? That's what I was going to tell you. I was talking about Westerns, right? One of the classic scenes in a Western is a raiding party, you know, like a Shawnee raiding party, attacks a wagon train, and they wipe everybody out. And you see them, and they're celebrating their victory, and they're taking scalps, and they're going through the luggage, and they're trying on bonnets and women's dresses, and they're all laughing. And that's what I see when I see this Congress and House and Senate, that they're like they've attacked at the wagon train, which is the American taxpayers' luggage and treasury. And they're trying on the clothes. That's what I see when I see this House and Senate. They're terrible, absolutely terrible. There isn't one who knows how to save a dime. He knows how to hide a dime or filch it, but he don't know how to save it. And it's time that we stop sending lawyers and billionaires to represent poor people and high school graduates. It's time to send the high school graduate to represent the high school graduates. And it's time to send poor people to represent poor people. And it's time to send doctors to represent doctors. Lawyers, we don't need anymore. Whoever said kill all the lawyers knew what he was talking about. And there's a joke about a pope dies and goes to heaven. And St. Peter greets him and he says, come on, I'll show you your quarters. And he gives him a small room with one cot. So the Pope, you know, offers it up. But later on in the day, he's walking up and down the halls, and he passes this one room. It's a giant room. It's got a bar in it. It's got a big desk. And there's a guy sitting behind a big chair. He's got his feet up on the desk, and he's smoking a Cuban cigar. And the Pope grabs St. Peter and goes, what's going on here? He goes, I was Pope. I was in the Vatican. I had apartments. And now I come here, and you give me this little room. And I walk down the hall, and there's this guy, and he's got a big fancy room. He's got a desk. He's smoking cigars. He's got a bar. What's going on here? And St. Peter says, look, up here we got 187 popes. We only have one lawyer. Hang in there, and I'll give you a song to bring Jesus back into your heart. Stop a playing Democrat or Democrat. A Democrat, the last one was Harry Truman. He's in heaven.
He can turn the tides and calm the angry sea. He alone decides who writes a symphony. He lights every star that makes our darkness bright. He keeps watch all through each long and lonely night. He still finds the time hear a child's first prayer. Saint or sinner calls and always find him there. Though it makes him sad to see the way we live, he'll always say, find the rainbow's end. He alone can see what lies beyond the bend. He can touch a tree and turn the leaves to gold. He knows every lie that you and I have told. Though it makes him sad to see the way we live, he'll always say,
before you know it, it'll be Good Friday. If you come from a family that used to be religious and you've gotten away from it, you should go on Good Friday and sit and just meditate. Nobody will bother you. The church is fairly dark. You can just go in, pay your respects to someone who paid your dues. And think about the ancestor that you have in your family who was closest to God. And then ask yourself, have you abandoned the faith of your fathers?
Have all been shed now,
His soul's been blessed and he'd laid to rest, and it's now I feel alone. He was more than just a father, a teacher, my best friend. He can still be heard in the tunes we share when we play them on our own. I never will forget him, for he made me what I am. For he may be gone, memory lingers on, and I miss him, the old man. A boy, he'd take me walking by mountain, field, and stream, and he'd show me things not known to kings, in secret between him and me, like the colors of the pheasant as he rises in the dawn. How to fish and make a wish beside the holly tree. I never will forget him, for he made me what I am. Though he may be gone, memory lingers on, and I miss him, the old man. I thought he'd live forever. He seems so big and strong, but the minutes fly and the years roll by for a father and his son. And suddenly when it happened, there was so much left unsaid. No second chance to tell him thanks for everything he's done. I never will forget him, for he made me what I am. Though he may be gone, memory lingers on, and I miss him, the old man.
Sunday I'm in church, and in my church there's a flag on the wall with 47 names of parishioners who died on 9/11. Then there's a little podium, and on the podium is a picture and a story of each one of the victims, some as young as 21, some as old as in their 70s. And we've had a couple of different parish chiefs. And I noticed that the monument, it gets pushed a little further back with every passing year. And there used to be a book with the names of all those Americans from my parish who joined the military after 9/11. And the last time I looked at it, there was 227 names. So I'm looking for that book, and I don't see it. It's like they stopped keeping track. And then I looked at the on the other side, on the opposite side of the altar, and there it was. So I went over to see it and look and see how many names have been added since the last time I saw it. And the count is still running. I don't know if it's like 250, 260. And the last page that I looked at, it was two brothers. I have seen three brothers in that book, and two priests. Three brothers from one family, and two priests. And this last page I saw were two brothers. One went into the Marines, and one went into the Navy. And I was surprised that the last page had seven names on it, and six of them went into the Marine Corps. So some people haven't forgotten 9/11, and some people haven't forgotten their country. And I often say there are more nuns out there than you realize. They don't wear a habit, and they don't belong to an order, but they won't trot out the beef for jerky, and they won't live the pigs in a blanket lifestyle. And it's very interesting. When you look around, you got to really look at people. And sometimes you're pleasantly surprised.
That's our show, folks. We'll close with the Star Spangled Banner.